And the idea is one of our founders, Brandon Frank, who is a entertainment attorney, is on that board and has been bringing MuseArt to the table to reach out to, you know, Africa and Saudi Arabia, London. You know, there's been even some talk about going into Syria, but of course that's a little bit edgy right this minute to playing music. But maybe, though, you never know, music could be the language that would create a solution over there.
I believe it.
I know. There's not even a doubt. I know it would. You know, if it wasn't so important, and if it wasn't so important, you know, without going off on some tangent about my personal Christian values, it wouldn't be in the scriptures, man. You know, there wouldn't be Psalms in the scriptures. You know, there's over 80 references to music in the book of Revelations. What does that tell you?
Oh, wow. And that's
That was news to me because I read that book like 3 times and I'd never caught that. Recently I had some experience about that and I was like, holy cow. You know, if music is being referred to in the book of Revelations and you are a God-fearing person, you believe in Revelations, then I think it's your responsibility to educate yourself about why it's in the book of Revelations. I'm thinking that, you know, God wants us to prepare the way. If it's in the book of Revelations, which is about the future, well, then you should go there sometime just for fun. I did recently, and it was an amazing experience because I guess I wasn't ready spiritually a couple of times before when I read that. But then I read it again now that I'm in a different space, and I was like, holy cow, man. It's important to have music for the future because God asked us to do that. You know, and I mean, I honestly truly believe that he is the CEO of MuseArt. We're really just the soldiers. We're just administrating it. And, you know, that's what his plan is for us. And we just do the work. And he just drops in on us. And he don't do voicemail, though.
Personal messages.
He just calls, you know, and it's important for us to hear the call. And that's the thing, you know, a lot of us get so caught up in technology with IMs and emails and telephones with voicemails. In fact, I had another friend of mine, I was carrying on about something with, we were having some difficulty with MuseArt in a particular area of the country. And my friend said to me, you know, you should just pick up your phone more often. I said, what do you mean? She goes, because God calls, but he don't do voicemail. I was like, but he don't do voicemail.
So
that is funny, man.
Right.
It is real. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I didn't mean to get off on my personal belief there, but
that's fine.
You know, I do believe that, you know, it's important for music to be part of every child's life. And even us as adults, man, I mean, you grew up with music, I think, and if you didn't, you know, I'm sure that you're in it now in a big way, so it doesn't really matter how you get there. But, I mean, just try to think about, if you did grow up with music, your child not having that opportunity. I mean, you know, in fact, part of the experience that we're going to create in this show that we're going to be doing, it just happens to be that that day that we're staging the show happens to be Groundhog Day. We were going to do this little, skit, you know, in the show somewhere. We don't know yet where, but we got about 4 or 5 shadows, you know, the reminiscent of the Groundhog thing.
Right.
And we were going to have these shadows lit up behind the backdrop of the stage. And we're going to talk about that. You know, we're going to talk about, what exactly would the world be without music? And what exactly can we do about it right now? And, you know, one little kid gets up and talks about, you know, hey, man, you know, my mom and dad have money. How come they don't help? Well, that's exactly what we're going to be here tonight to do, show them how to help. And that's what the MuseArt website does. It's really nothing more than a portal of information. It talks about the importance of music. I didn't want it to be, actually none of us really wanted it to be too, you know, too much of that nonsense of pulling at the heart. It's sort of a contradiction of my concept of the experience. But I wanted people to just go, you know, I wanted somebody to go there and just gather data. And then when they gather data and they agree with the data, just click the donate button and donate $5, $10, $100, whatever your comfort zone is. And if money isn't your thing and you can't do that, then volunteer your service, because there's services that are needed everywhere. In fact, there's actually a couple of services that are posted on that site that we're looking for right now.
Okay, so maybe we just need to contact MuseArt.
Yeah, just contact MuseArt on the website. There's contact information there everywhere. And there's a donate button on every page. You can't get lost.
Mm-hmm.
So we've asked you to drop in and just check it out. That's museartworld.org. And that's the address for the website. You can check out anything going on there. Any more information, there is an info button you can press on to if you don't quite get it. You want more information, or you want a school like that in your district or whatever, you can just click on and we'll get it done eventually, because we are definitely under the heat right now. We got people coming in everywhere. So I want one of these schools.
I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Every city needs to have one, and I can see it happening. It's already happening. It's possible. So it is working right now. You know, I wanted to ask you real quick about the Each One Teach One, because I know that I keep seeing the logo and I see the trademark, and I wanted to know how it, you know, we've mentioned it already, but I kind of want to just reiterate how it ties into MuseArt, the Each One Teach One theme.
Well, you know, it boils down to one of my friends, Freddie Ravel, has an organization that he has called Tune Up to Success, and everything is about music, and he's a part of our team now too. He'll be a major part of the Each One Teach One show. But you know, one thing we know is that parents have a certain amount of influence over their children. We don't know totally what degree of influence they have. We just know that they have an influence over them. And we know that when we step up a little bit to, say, grandma and grandpa, that they have just a little bit more of an influence on the children. But the most significant influence that children are onto is peer-to-peer mentoring.
Peer-to-peer.
You know, they talk to their friends, they learn from their friends. And Each One Teach One, the philosophy is that, you know, each one can teach one and find a way to reach one,
right.
You know, and then together they can change the world. But they can't do it with violent video games and nasty lyrics and songs and disrespect. And they have to, you know, just get involved in society, participate. In fact, we have like 22 kids in Salt Lake City, Utah, that found out about MuseArt, that came to MuseArt and said that they wanted to do a car wash fundraiser for MuseArt. So they got all their friends together in school. They got about 50 of them. And of course, those 50 children, their 50 parents brought their cars, in some cases, two cars.
Wow.
And they made $2,000 for MuseArt. Little kids. You know?
They just worked.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they had, you know, I showed up, and of course I'm just a big kid, so I called them out to a water balloon fight.
Oh yeah.
So they got an opportunity to just trash me, because I was done in about 20 minutes. You know.
But
they got an idea that I really do dig kids, you know, and that I was really proud of them for making that initiative. And you know, we have three cars in our family, so I brought all three of them down there, and I even gave them an extra $50 to wax them, you know, because they had a little waxing thing going on, and we made a deal with one of the shopping centers to let us do it in their parking lot. So it was really kind of a fun thing. I mean, but the idea is that those kids were teaching each other, each one teach one, and they brought, you know, back to my friend Freddie. He describes music in a variety of ways, but one of the things he describes is, you know, the harmony portion of music, and how it embraces team effort, you know, and how, you know, the melody is the forward motion, the leader, and it brings it through the journey, and how rhythm is about time management and, you know, and driving force. So he breaks all the components down of music. But that's what I got to see that Saturday afternoon, was all these little children. And I would say they were probably, if I was going to guess, maybe between the ages of 10 and 15. Mm-hmm. And they just did this all by themselves. They just said, you know, we want to do this, and we want to give all the money to, you know, to MuseArt to help us get a school in Utah.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that's really cool. So, you know, the thing is, yeah, the real sadness of it all, though, there is a sad point to it. It took the children to do it, you know, because parents are not engaged in their children's lives around the world as they should be, you know, because they're both knocking down, you know, 30, 40, 50 grand a year, whatever it is they're doing, trying to make mortgage payments that are bigger than they need.
Right.
And driving big cars that they don't need and all that stuff. It's just time to simplify again. I know when I was in school, I disliked music. I was not, I mean, if you would have told me I was going to become a music executive in my life, I would have laughed at you.
Right, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, I totally disliked music. I did. I had two things I disliked, phones and music. And I did not have an interest in, I had no interest in either one of those things. But I didn't have a choice, because I went to Catholic school all my life, so art and music appreciation were part of the curriculum. There wasn't like, oh, you get to sit that period out. You have to go to there. That's what you do. It's part of the school. So, you know, I remember I used to complain about it all the time with my mom. You know, it's like, man, you know, I could get along with the art thing, you know, but the music thing, I just don't get it. And I don't like it. And, you know, and then somebody in my family got married to Felix Cavalier from the Young Rascals.
Okay.
There was a big popular group. Yeah, they were a huge group in the 60s. And so he used to come over to my house, and he would teach me all these little things on the piano, because there was always a piano in the house. And after he taught me, he taught me a CFG chord, you know, on a piano. And he told me every song in the world was written that same way. And I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, every one of these keys, you use the same progression, 1, 4, 5. Okay? Trust me on this. Here's a song from the Eagles. Boom. Here's a song from Simon and Garfunkel. Boom. And he showed me that formula. Well, I got really interested in that, because that was, you know, that moved me over to a place where I could get creative and write. You know, and a music education that does strictly the old style stuff, you know, the classical training, very important stuff for discipline, but not very many children learn more than to duplicate. I mean, they duplicate and they get technology or, you know, technique down very well. I mean, and that's a very important science and a part of music study, and it's very much needed and wanted. But I think it's also important to import the creative process in there, you know, where children have an opportunity to come back with their own creations and as a result of their studies. And I think that's where we can really make a big difference. I think that's actually, you know, why our school systems are successful. All the kids engage in a project, and then the project is all has to be done by all the kids in the school. And then they come back and they have to participate. And then they stage it out, and when they stage it out, it's flipping amazing, Mike, to watch these little kids with their little smiles on their face. And it's just beautiful to watch how it works. So, you know, I mean, we have a lot of work to do. And, you know, we've let this thing get out of hand. And we have to just step up now. We got to take responsibility. And I'm just one of the guys in the entertainment industry that cares to admit that we screwed up. And, you know, we're gonna turn it around before we all die. And before it just goes away. You know?
That's a very, very, very major statements, major dedication. It's a little scary to even hear that, you know, from the music industry, you know, a man who's, you know, has the credibility that you have, credentials.
Wow.
So hear from your voice, you know, it's like, it's kind of scary, but it's a good thing because it's admitted and it's now in the process of recovery. So, you know, we're going to do what we can to help continue on this rebuilding process, this regeneration process, breathing life in the music industry through muse art. That's how I feel. Like, muse art is the breath of life, and music needs it right now. So we appreciate it. Did you want to summarize? You want to say anything else, any shout-outs or anything at all?
You know, I'm just excited that we have such an amazing amount of people on us that have embraced this. I mean, this thing started with two or three people, and now there's like hundreds of people. And everybody has some contribution that they make, and it's amazing how the team has really rallied behind it. I'm particularly impressed with two of our girls that we have floating out there, which really belong to our sister company, Conscious Music, which is Lenore and Josie. I think those girls, man, to me are, well, I don't want to single any out because they're all great, but those two are like, you know, they're like children that every father would just absolutely die to have.
Wow.
They're making a difference. They're impactful. They lead by example, which is an amazing concept. Imagine that. if you think about it. Don't start me up there on that Capitol Hill area.
I understand that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like everybody seems to just say whatever they want to say and does something totally different. But these two girls have this, like, whole imagery about them that just sets them apart from everyone else. And, you know, and if you haven't, not that I want to plug for those two, but if you haven't seen them, you know, you need to get on their website. You know, it's, one of them has got a website called Teen Groove on the Move, and the other one's got Josie Show, and they are just amazing girls. I told both of them one day, I think in an email, I said, you know, you tell your dad that he's a really lucky man, because if he was there, I'd be your dad. Those girls are just, they're amazing, you know. And that, we have that little Nina girl too. She is off the chart, you know.
Yeah.
She's so smart. 8 years old, just went out there and walked her way into each one, teach one, and turned it into theme song for her school. But I mean, they're out there, buddy. We just have to help them. You know, we have to lead them and help them. And, you know, I think we've led them down the wrong path with what we've done in the last 15 years with the hip-hop industry has been the leader in this thing.
Oh, my God.
In my personal opinion, yeah, just violence and degrading lyrics. And, you know, don't misunderstand me. I love hip-hop. You know, I love hip-hop music.
Me too.
There is great hip-hop music, you know. But as long as they can clean up their lyrics, they got a great, you know, feeling to the music. People love that feeling. But why they got to go there? You know, why don't they just clean it up? Who cares about all the blood? So let's fix it.
Right.
So that's my summary for it all. You
mean? Man, I
appreciate the opportunity to visit with you guys.
No problem. No problem. It's our pleasure. You know, we want to keep getting you back on the show as much as possible, you know, because the mission, it's a stable mission, but it's always adapting and, you know, evolving. So as things change and as you encounter new things and experience things and it broadens out, definitely interested in hearing the story and broadcasting the breath of life, which is muse art. So we appreciate it 100% and more.
Well, thank you very much, Mike, and you have a great night out there.
Yeah, you too.
And an honor and a privilege for me to be on your show again. I appreciate you.
Likewise, and I'm looking forward to the future. So thanks a lot, and you just try to take it easy.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye.
If you or anyone else you know would like to have their poetry, music featured on the Pro Flow for Show Show, hosted by Mr. Mad Max, check us out, www.maxheat.com. Don't be left out. Don't be the last to know. Spread the word. It's Pro Flow M4 Radio.